5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show authors want to be on.
I love you like I do. Don't know why I love you. Don't know why I care. I just want your love to share. I wonder why I love you like I do. Is it because I think you love me too? I wonder why I love you like I do. Like I do.
The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, good evening, and it is, I don't know what it is actually, it is Thursday the 28th of February, and it is the new Panic Room show, radio show episode. It's a long time, we need a short title, I think, to be honest with you, but it is episode 133, which is kind of exciting in many ways. And yeah, here we are again. It only seemed like it was a few days ago. We were just doing all this nonsense before. But yeah, it is. Do you know what I'm going to do? Because I have missed her, actually. We don't speak so much, and I think she might be falling out with me a little bit. But maybe she just hates me. It could be. But we're going to bring her on. We're going to bring Xtina on, because I've missed her. Hello.
Wow, I no song or anything this week. I don't know about this.
No. Do you know, I just couldn't be asked, to be honest with you, but no, to be fair, that's unfair. I'd missed you. I mean, Yeah, I think it's not often we just have a good chin wag. But obviously, I mean, this is the bit where obviously I bring you up to date with current affairs. You know, it's you probably have no idea what's going on in the world as usual.
No, and you have not done it. And, like, I think it's been, like, 2 weeks, so I have absolutely no idea what's going on. I mean, you are where I get my news, yeah.
Well, okay. So, here we go. I'm going to give you a clue to what's going on this week. We
have him by the pussy.
You know what uranium is, right? It's a thing called nuclear weapons and other things. Like, lots of things are done with uranium, including some bad things.
대회를 앞두고 경제 발전과 인민생활 향상에 크게 이바지할 수 있는 수많은 주요 대상 건설을 짧은 기간에 훌륭히 완공하고 당 중앙의 중종의 보고서들을 보내어 왔습니다.
Christina, from those clues, do you have any idea what's... obviously, Donald Trump and Kim Il-Jong-Il-Dun meeting the second summit, and they're just such an unlikely pair. I mean, you just look at them, and it's just like, you know, I was reading an article that said, you know, it's pretty much all style and no substance. You know, there's no... You know, these summits are generally used to sort of, they're used after all the deals have been done in the background, almost like the public flag and the tape parade, we've done all. But Trump's doing it backwards. He's doing all the art and all the superficial stuff, but there's nothing behind it. You know, there's no agreements about nuclear proliferation or lack thereof. There's no agreements about Kim backing down or back, it's just nothing. They're just meeting, shaking hands, and it's funny when Trump, I mean, you know, he has the verbal capacity of a mentally impaired 4-year-old, God bless him. You know, thoughts and prayer, Donald. He listen, and I know Donald does listen to the show because he'll be tweeting about us later, and he likes the show bigly, apparently. Yeah, so we don't know how good of an orator Kim is because we can't understand him, but he sounds pretty, you know, passionate. You know, he's not using the same word, like, you know, Trump uses the same, like, successful, for example. I was sure he said he's doing his introduction thing, and he was looking at him like he's just like, what the, seriously? You know what? Clown. You know, it's like it's some very, very elaborate practical joke on North Korea. You know, at any moment, he's going to be, April, you know, he's the real president. But, and on top of that, I've got Michael Cohen is giving evidence to the Mueller inquiry. And bearing in mind, he was Trump's lawyer for, 10 years? So he knows a lot of dirt. A lot of dirt. And he's producing proof of this, proof of that, and I don't know, it'd be interesting to see how the Trumpmeister general wriggles out of it all, to be honest with you. It's, but he'll just cling on. I think he will, because technically, I mean, yeah, they could try and impeach him, but unless, you know, everyone agrees, both houses agree, he will cling on power. So, and I don't, you might be able to tell me, I don't know how the law works. I don't know. I'm guessing they can't arrest a sitting president, is that right?
You're asking me something like this? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you've no idea. You have. No, I'm sorry.
No,
I should have known better.
No. I should have known better. Yeah, I'm ready to bury my head back in the sand.
Okay. I should have asked you a question about cake or something, or makeup, perhaps.
Ice cream. You can ask me a question about ice
cream. Ice cream.
Ice cream.
There you go. I do like a bit of ice cream. You know, I've just noticed, I'm sitting here in my office, and I have a great little LED table lamp. And it looks, I don't know if you've ever seen the original movie, The War of the Worlds. And it looks a lot like one of them. So
really?
I have an alien table. Yeah, it just looks like, I'll have to get a picture and we'll put it on the website. And it just looks like... it looks like that. We also have a light fixture in our hallway that looks like a breast. So it does. It honestly
it
does.
Just one
breast.
Just one though. You need two. One.
Well, there's just the one. It's just the one. If there's two side by side, that would be just hilarious. But no, there is just the one.
It would be.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Hey. I'm gonna hit this. I'm gonna put you on the spot again.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa,
whoa, whoa, whoa. So, what's new, pussycat?
You know, I want to be like Donald Trump right now and be like, there are some really good things that, you know,
really
we have.
Really good things. really good things.
Yeah, I don't know what, though, but what is going on?
We have a week. Hellbound Books has a new title out this week. How dare you forget?
Yeah.
Which is The Other Side of the Mirror by Lex Jones, and it is, hopefully we should be having him on the show shortly. Is that right?
Yes.
Hopefully
have
him booked on.
I do have him booked on.
Brilliant.
He's
from Sheffield, which my grandparents were from Sheffield, funnily enough, just down the road from where I grew up and lived for a lot of my life. And it is a phenomenal sort of dark, noir, it's just everything. It's a fantastic book, brilliant cover. Everything going for it. So it's exciting.
Yeah. No,
it's exciting.
I knew that. You know, we had that coming out, and I have to
say. So
why didn't you say anything? Because it's more fun if I pretend like I have no clue, and you know that's more fun, and it gets me out of trouble.
It would be like me pretending I'm prepared for the show, wouldn't it? I knew what was going on.
Exactly. You know,
I've been rehearsing for the past 2 hours, you know. Not literally just sat down.
Right. No, I have to say I read this book by Lex, and you know, I'm not gonna say anything about it, but there is a plot twist that I just freaking did not see coming, and it was amazing. And I was talking to the book as I was reading. I'm like, no, and I mean out loud, I'm just like, yeah, it was great. I loved it.
Yeah.
So he
writes incredible. I'm looking forward to chatting to him actually. We'll let him tell us about it, because I'm always scared of giving stuff away, you know. It's like, you know, it's like the sixth sense. Oh, he's a ghost. But I try not to. So anywho, what is going on this evening, my dear?
Let's see. You always do this to me, and I mess it up every time. But tonight we have a great show. We have horror writer Kenzie Jennings, and that's for our first segment. And for our second segment, we have returning guest, four-time nominee of the Bram Stoker Award and winner of the Splatterpunk Award, Jeff Strand. Woo! And you know what?
Yeah.
How many? Yeah, exactly. And you know, I'm just such a fangirl of Jeff, and I have to say that I don't know if there's many weeks that go by that I don't try to throw his name in there somehow.
I think every week. I think, and it's great. I like it when we have Jeff on, because that means I can literally just sit back and just let you off you go. It's great. I get sort of half the show off, which is fantastic. But always nice. Again, Jeff's been on the show more times than he's good for him. He really, really should know better. But these people, they just keep coming on. But I don't know why. I mean, you and I have to. We have to come back each week. But
we do.
You know.
Yeah.
I know. Even though there's been the odd week even you've not bothered, which is, you know, typical. Typical.
That's true. Mm. Yeah. I know. You know what? You missed two shows. It was two or three shows. You know, of course, it was years ago, but still. And
you've
not let me forget that,
have you? You never will.
I've never gotten over that.
That was like 3 years ago. Three years ago, I missed a couple. And again, because I just couldn't be bothered. You know, although I'm going to be honest here with our listener, I was planning to actually leave. I was planning just to not do it anymore.
Yeah.
I thought,
we'll keep the show going. We'll get somebody else into it. But to be honest, there's nobody as me.
No,
and that is
no.
The truth. There's no one as good as me at doing this, which is which is sad, really, for me, because it means I'm stuck with it, you know. But hey ho. But I, you know, it's fun. I like our bit of banter on a Thursday evening. It's sort of, this is my social life. I really very rarely go out these days, you know, because the world's scary for me. You know, I'm getting on a bit now, and it's a bit scary. Always worried my hip's going to give out, you know, and so I don't go out much
You're
these
not
days.
At all.
I'm getting so antisocial. It's scary. I even order my groceries online and have them brought to the house now.
Oh wow!
I'm having to, you know, if I have to ring somebody, I have to ring someone to like an insurance company. So I actually will look around. I'll actually pay more for an insurance or whatever. I'll pay a little bit more if I can order it online. I don't have to speak to someone. Seriously, because I just don't speaking to these people.
No, I'm more of a social butterfly. I want to get out and you know, be with people. But it's funny. I'm going to I'm going to call out the boyfriend real quick because we were actually up in the office upstairs and he sees people walking down the street. And road, whatever. And there's, you know, not a whole lot of stuff goes on here. It's pretty quiet. So he's like, oh my gosh, are they coming here? And he was like worried about this. He was like staring out the window. They're coming. I see they're coming here. And it was just people trying to sell.
Really?
Something.
Oh my God. That's scary. He really does need to get out more. But I don't know. I think maybe it's because I do. The job that we do is a very solitary sort of job, you know. But and we get wrapped up in our own little worlds as we write and all the rest of it. But you know, I just have no time for all the small talk. I just don't care. You know, trying to make chit chat. You know, people telling me about their lives, and I just want to say I don't care. Just shut up. Seriously, just leave me alone. I really, honestly, truthfully, I don't want to sound rude or anything, but I don't care. but you can't, can you? You can't say that to people, especially at children's parties when you sort of you've got to make nice with the parents and whatnot, and they just expect. Now, thankfully, my daughter's old enough. I can just drop off and just come back home, or you know, just go do something else, sit and make small talk. So, but there's a few exceptions. There's a couple of friends she's had for a long time, and you know, and it's like the same parents get together every year, and it's great because it's just like a bunch of friends. So that works. That's nice. So on the whole, I just want to sit and again, they think if you take a book to read, they think you're rude. You know, sat with your nose in a book, and they're all chatting about. I don't know what they chat about. I don't know what to talk about. To be honest, that is the truth. I don't do Speaking of chit chat, what I enjoy doing, and here's a segue for you, is talking to guests on the show. So, Xtina, who is our first guest? How smooth is that? Seriously.
That was great. That was smooth as butter. That was great.
It was smooth as shit, wasn't it? Right. Who have we got?
Our first guest, we have horror author Kenzie Jennings. Woo!
Kenzie, are you there?
Hey, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hello. So, you know, I was sort of thinking. I just realised as I was my little diatribe about how I hate talking to people. And the irony of that, bearing in mind that we're doing a sort of radio show where we talk to people. But, you know, there's people and there's people. I love chatting to other writers. I mean, but obviously, you know, there's not that many of them around here, certainly in the circles that I – the odd circles that I frequent, you know. And usually when a writer meets a non-writer, you know, you get one of two responses. You say, yeah, they say, we're a writer, and it's either silence, and they look at you like you're some sort of sex criminal, or you get the whole, I've always wanted to write a book. And it's like, well, get out of my face. Seriously, get out of my face.
I'm not going to lead with writer. I'm going to lead with, I'm an English professor. And then everybody goes, ooh, you're an English professor. And then I say, I'm a writer. And then they go, oh, okay. Yeah.
And then they say, I always wanted to write a book. You should write my idea down. I've got this really good idea. You should write this. Well, yeah. You pay me 25 grand, and I'll fucking well write it. Not a problem, mate.
Exactly.
And then they look offended. They look offended at you.
And I'm gonna be honest with you. I am a brand new horror author too. So this is like my first in everything. So I'm extremely nervous, and you know, this is just a new experience for me. So I hope I represent okay.
you sound fantastic. We will nurture you, Marie, don't you? So this is your it's not just your first horror, is it your first novel ever?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
That is fantastic, and it is called Reception.
Reception.
I love the tagline. It is, here we go. The tag: a wedding already burdened with family drama goes batshit when you. There's not many headlines you read with the word batshit in, I have to say, and I love that. The groom's family reveals themselves to be cannibals. And everyone else is on the menu. I love cannibals. Big cannibal fans. So it's so much better than sparkling bloody vampires, I have to say. Tell us a bit more about it.
Well, it's mainly about this woman who comes out of rehab. She has benzodiazepine withdrawal syndrome, so she is in a detox unit to get clean from that. And she's out for the weekend to be in her sister's wedding. And you know, she's kind of the black sheep of the family. Nobody really wants her there, and it's already uncomfortable enough. But even worse, you know, besides their own family drama, there's this. You know, this tension between them and the in-laws is because they know there's something wrong with the in-laws. And so the first half of it is sort of this family melodrama. And in the second half, the reception, when the in-laws reveal themselves to be cannibals and the whole thing is a ruse to get them there to eat, then it just turns into survival mode. So it's really crazy. I wrote it. It was kind of... I got inspired because my little sister got married in the place where I kind of loosely based it on. It's in Texas Hill Country, so you know it's just in the middle of nowhere, and the nearest town is like 25 miles away by car, and everything seems to be not working well there, too. There's no night staff on duty. It's purposely set up to feel like it's creepy, and the place where my sister was married was pretty creepy, too. And I told her, I said, I'm going to write a book about this. And she said, all right. And I'm going to turn it into a wedding. Oh, wait, what? it was cathartic, too, because I got some real steam out in this novel, too. So I realized then why horror writers write horror. And said, this is therapeutic. This really is. So, but I had a great time writing it. And I just love... you know, you guys are having Jeff on. He's one of my closest friends and my mentor. He's taught me everything about novel writing and horror publishing, and he has walked me through everything. And he introduced me to the guys who are now my publisher, Deathhead Press. And they are brand new too. They just came out last month with two books. an anthology called And Health Followed, and a crime thriller that was really fun called The Hard Goodbye by Chris Miller. And if anybody who likes crime noir and crazy heist books, you know, where things go wrong, that is the best there, The Hard Goodbye. But I just I thought I'd throw that in there, too, because I know that they're listening. But anyway.
Yeah, that cover is amazing. That's a pretty cool cover with it. Inhale Follows. Yeah, I like that.
And the cover for Reception, I don't know if you guys saw that too. I don't think I sent it to you or not. It was done by Lynn Hansen, and she's been fantastic at what she does. It's just wonderful. I'll have to send it to you. I guess I can send it online. I have all the chats open, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I'm such a Luddite. Technology is just bonkers to me.
Go ahead and send it to me, and I can get it put up on our website, and you know, people can see it there too. But you were talking about the covers. Lynn Hansen, she does a lot of Jeff's covers, and he's got some kick-ass covers.
Yeah.
So I'm a fangirl. I have to say, I really am. I was introduced to his writing. Was it just a year ago? Maybe it was maybe it was 2 years ago. I don't even know. But a friend of mine recommended Blister, I think, was the first one I read. And I remember getting done with that book, and I was like, that's how you write a book. That was just, it was brilliant. I thought it was, I loved humor. I do, and I love horror, so when you combine the two, that was just like perfection. It really was. So then I went through a thing where I couldn't read enough.
Yeah, he has a knack for it. I mean, he is, I love, my favorite book of his is the one that when I first met him, I met him at StokerCon. Not StokerCon, stupid me. Spooky Empire in Orlando. It's a horror convention, and you know, they usually have celebrities. I think they had Bruce Campbell and John Carpenter. But I was more excited because he was going to be there. And,
right.
I found out he lived in my area. It was even better. I was like, oh, my God, you're in Tampa. I'm in Winter Haven. Oh, this is safe. So I got Pressure because that's my favorite book of his. It is probably one of the best modern horror novels about a psychopath and his best friend. And
nice.
I can't suggest it enough. Yeah, it has the humor in there, but not as much as his later books. But I brought that, and he signed it for me, and I was all fangirl and stupid. And
that's how I would be. Yeah, you know, I have Pressure. I have not read it yet, but I do have it, so I guess I'm gonna have to make that a priority. Yeah. You know, it's funny, but every time I have him on, I ask him what his favorite book of his is, and then I proceed to say, oh, mine is Cyclops Road, and I'm like, well, wait, no, mine is, and then I like change it because it's hard to pick out books of his that are the same. I mean, they're so different that you know, you love them all for different reasons. So
the new one that he's coming out with, the one about the zombie animals and the
Ferocious.
I have to read the synopsis again, but I am so excited about reading that. I downloaded it this morning, yesterday, and I'm so excited. So
I'm reading it too. We should do a buddy read.
Yes, totally.
So I want to hear more about Reception. The tagline's great, and you, batshit. Anytime you hear batshit, it's a winner. So I want to hear more though. Do you have an excerpt for us?
Yes, I do. I know that I'm supposed to read it, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. This is me getting ready because I have to get some water in me. I'm really dehydrated. I have I couldn't decide what to read, so I decided to just read with the opener, how it opens. Okay. So it's the prologue. Just set up here. I wish I could remember the little things that seem necessary. Little things like quickly changing a flat tire, cooking perfectly fluffy scrambled eggs, replacing an old door lock, and getting tacky blood stains out of formal wear. I wish I could just remember. Bloody with water is just making it worse. The stains keep spreading. Is it salt? Hydrogen peroxide? Dish soap? My whole face feels gummy with it. The clots have gelled over, growing itchy. It's streaked all over my arms, the bandage, my hands, in front of my dress. It's everywhere. The soap masks the metallic stench of it. That and the underlying sour tang of vomit, but only just. The label on the soap bottle reads Haven Hill Tea Rose, but it smells like discount floral musk tanging with copper and pheromones. I scrub until my hands are raw and burning, bloody crust under my fingernails, rimming my cuticles. The makeshift bandage around my forearm has grown so saturated with blood and dirt, it's useless. My arm still burns. I want to scratch it wide open, scratch it away. These sorts of things noticeable. My sister Shay softly cries from her space on the floor. These sorts of things unimportant right now. Shay is slumped against the wall in a fluffy heap of crinoline satin and gore-spattered beaded brocade. Her ballerina bun that she'd spent a good couple of hours and plenty of money getting into a perfectly rounded knot is partially undone with its bobby pins dangling limply. Matted, stringy clumps of hair are glued to one side of her grimy face. She snorts back a burble of snot. Tears run down her cheeks, twin rivers in a ruddy landscape. Her breath comes in tight, sporadic hitches, kind of like she's hiccuping, but she's forgotten how to. I spent so much on this dress. I mean, I know it was on sale, so it's not like a big deal or anything, she says in between breathy hiccups. But it's kind of a big deal when you've paid several bills already and this is the dress you want, you know? And did it come with spot removal instructions? My lame attempt at humor doesn't register. It's Shay. She never gets it. Then again, levity isn't exactly the order of the day, not with everything happening right now, not with what's out there. So it's understandable. Shay's train of thought is interrupted by a stray burp, which then forms into a warbling sob, something she's probably practiced for future meltdowns. This just isn't the time for it. While I let her finish her thought, oh, those thoughts that have been unraveling wildly over the past few hours, I dampen a hand towel under the faucet and then use it to blot up my hands, my dress. Then I toss it just before I get to ripping up one of the resort's thin towels, creating raggedy strips from it. Sniffling, Shay watches me work. I briefly stop unwinding the bloody tablecloth bandage I'd hurriedly crafted and had wrapped around my damaged forearm, and I glance down at her, offering her a sad smile. She grimly returns the smile, pats down her ruined gown, and plucks her sticky strands from her cheeks, grimacing as she does. I just wanted to get married, Anne. That's all, she says softly. Just wanted to be a bride, a wife, all of it. I mean, I know it's so overdone with all the planning out, all the details, the expectations and timing. Everything always has to be so perfect and orderly. There's just no room for things out of place. No time for plan Bs or second chances, but Anne, I wanted to do it right. To do it right. For Mom and Dad, I add, nodding. I know how it is. I wince at the side of my shredded arm beneath the last layer of tablecloth bandage. Just the mere thought of picking it from the raw wound, prizing it from the nerves and meat makes me gag. Still, have to do what I have to do. And I start peeling it away from the wound slowly, carefully, and it's excruciating. For Mom and Dad, she says with a sigh, you know it. I'm the one who can't disappoint them, right? My skin prickles, itching. The ache behind my eyes thrums. I'll allow myself to believe I'm not angry. I'm not. But I don't like it even if it's true. The implication that I'm the daughter who can and will routinely disappoint them. This isn't my fault. This isn't my fault. This isn't my fault. For what it's worth, I don't think it's all that important anymore, considering, I say, our terrible reminder that. I suck in my breath as I gently tug the last bit of bandage away and examine the damage. I keep having to remind myself that it isn't as bad as I pictured when it happened, but it looks pretty awful up close in all of its meaty, oozing glory. I run the tap and hold my arm under the cool water, gritting my teeth at the burn of it. All those exposed layers and nerves and those germs. Oh, those germs. I'd poured alcohol onto it earlier, not long after all of it went down. even still, it wouldn't have done good on the wound. It's not a run-of-the-mill scrape of flesh here. There's no antiseptic anywhere from what I've seen. Not like I've had the time or ability to scour the place for a halfway decent first aid kit. Still, I think there's probably one in somebody's car. While we're not exactly able to use a car to get out of here at this moment, at least I can hope my arm won't get so infected I'd have to amputate. Jesus H. Amputate. That's an awful possibility. And that's it.
That's awesome. That was so good. You know, I want to say the phrase of the day for me is going to be meaty, oozy glory. I like that.
It covers everything, doesn't it? I like that.
That was, yeah.
Wow.
You paint an incredibly vivid picture.
Definitely. I gotta say. You know, I normally do, like, you know, 11 questions with, well, I try to do that every week, you know, Elise was one of the guests.
Right.
And one of our questions is, you know, would you eat human flesh? And you know, I have to say that I'm a little frightened now. I don't want to ask you that question. Because it looks like you've thought about this.
It's about cannibals. Let me think. When would I? I don't know. In a desperate situation, maybe. I don't know. You know, that's always one of those questions. It's always a party, like, opener. Would you eat human flesh?
I've never been to that party.
yeah, I don't want to be a Hannibal Lecter here. You know, nice Chianti.
No,
yeah.
No. Yeah, it's funny because the question is actually if it was legal to do so, and I've had, you know, guests say, well, even if it wasn't legal, I would still do it, and, you know, no. I'm not even really a steak person, so I'm going to turn down the human flesh thing. I'll stick with my salad or something.
Yeah, I think it's
really salad.
Yuck.
Yeah. What are the 11 questions, though?
Oh, do you want to do 11 questions with me?
Yeah.
Sure.
Let's do it. You caught me on the hump. I need to press the button on. I wasn't prepared for this. Oh, do you know? Here we go.
Really fast? I mean, what have
and
been here?
And now, 11 questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he, you know, he says he wasn't prepared. I have to find the questions. Hang on one second.
Make some up.
Okay, number one, what's your guilty pleasure?
I want to say screaming goat videos.
Wow. You know what? I think you jumped to the top of the line now for guilty pleasures. You know, we get a lot of, you know, M&Ms and wine and stuff like that. But that one is right up there with Ralph James White's lactating porn, lesbian porn. Yeah, so.
Lesbian lactation porn. Yeah, that was.
Yes.
That was. And what about radiate porn was one as well. So we have a lot of porny answers to that one.
Yeah, no, that's it's kind of far place from each other, but okay.
Right? Who are we to judge? Yeah. What do you prefer, the mountains or the ocean?
The ocean. I love beaches.
Yeah, for you're
sure.
In Florida. You have to. Yeah. I think that's
When those beaches aren't covered in oil or red tide or whatever, yeah. So... Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, here we go. What's your favorite lunch meat?
Pastrami.
That's a good one. It's a good, strong lunch meat.
It is
meat,
a good
that.
One.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, but we can't get for pastrami around here. So, yeah, I need to find a good deli. So, now I'm hungry. Thanks.
Right? Okay, here it is. If it were legal to do so, would you eat human flesh?
Yes.
Yes.
Yay. Well done. Well done.
Um, but not for pleasure. I mean, it would have to be a desperate situation, like a Lies. Remember that? Remember that movie?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
The story? Yeah. Mm. So
Would you try to, like, picky?
Would you try to put barbecue sauce on it or you know?
Oh yeah.
I don't know. Worcestershire.
Yeah.
A little bit of rosemary on there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I probably, you know, make it like a ceviche with like I don't know, or the orange, the citrus, and the.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I haven't really thought a lot about it, to be honest.
No. But now you're going to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Have you ever been pulled over for a traffic violation?
Yes.
Right. Who hasn't?
Yes.
Who hasn't?
I don't want to talk about that. Let's move on.
Right. Moving right along, yeah. Okay, are you an Android or an Apple girl?
Oh, okay. I'm an Apple girl because I'm from an Apple family. So, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. I'm sorry.
We get more Apple answers than Android. I'm an Android girl, so you know. But we get a lot of Apple.
I totally get it. So I'm not going to be I consider myself flexible. So there you go.
Good. Oh, which franchise do you prefer? Halloween, Friday the 13th, Elm Street, Hellraiser, or Saw?
Hellraiser.
Really?
I love Hellraiser. Yeah, no. I mean,
Kenzie's doing really
Saw.
Well.
Yeah,
I love the first Saw. I really love the first Saw because I love the fact that the violence was off screen. And the twist was so good. After the rest of them, no, I don't.
It just got very, very silly. It really
did. It did.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Michael Myers for me, but yeah. I'm hearing more and more Hellraiser answers. So and James definitely loves that. So.
I love the fantasy of it. So yeah, it's cool.
Roller coasters, yay or nay?
Yay.
Definitely.
But I have a restriction. I don't like the old fashioned roller coasters that rattle you because I'm short and you know, they got the bars there and your ears slam against the bars. So I can't do that. No.
Right there with you. Yeah. Give me one interesting non-writing related fact about you.
I've lived in five countries.
Wow.
Yeah.
That
well, I was
really
going to say to James, you know, James, you're from Yorkshire, right? Is that where you're
yes,
from?
Yes, I am. Yep.
Yeah, I lived in Cambridgeshire for like 9 years. I lived in Sussex.
Oh, cool.
I'm a military brat, so my dad was stationed around there. But yeah, I miss it. I really miss prawn crackers. I know. I'm thinking about that today.
Sorry, what's that you miss? I miss that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I miss Chinese prawn crackers. I can't get them
anywhere. Oh, prawn crackers. You can't get them here. No, they don't.
I know.
You used to get a big bag of, when you get a takeout, a big bag of prawn crackers.
Oh, they're so good.
Oh, they're so good. You just can't stop eating them.
On your tongue. Oh, I know.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm hungry now, thank you.
Yeah.
It's a conversation involving cannibalism. I know that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. What is your least favorite part of the writing process?
Revision.
Oh, that's a good one.
Right? That's normal, right?
Definitely that and like editing. People say, you know, editing is definitely, Mm-hmm. And bonus question is, you know, now that we've entered baseball season again, aren't you excited, James?
Yeah, I'm beside myself.
Yeah. So our bonus question is baseball or stamp collection?
Baseball.
Yay!
Oh,
awesome.
Wrong answer. Boo.
No, I'm not a sports fan, but if it's live, I like it. You know, I don't like watching it on TV. I have to actually be there. My alma mater is FSU, Florida State. So, uh-huh. I mean, they're a huge football school. So I went to their games
right.
quite a bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have to say, I am such a crazy baseball fan that I'm a little worried right now because we just entered into baseball season. It's still spring training,
mm-hmm.
so I'm not as crazy about it. But, like, I watch every single game, and that takes up, like, 3 hours pretty much every day. So I'm like, oh, gosh, I have work to get done. You know, I just, you know. And baseball season lasts forever, too. I mean, it won't, you know, we'll still be in baseball season, like, what, November? So it's a big stretch of your year. And baseball, woo! Anyway.
You're moving on.
With the 11th.
They were
moving
in
on.
Japan. They love baseball in Japan. I lived in Japan for a while. They love it there. Baseball.
Really?
That is their thing. Oh, yeah.
Awesome. I can't wait to have you come back. You have to promise to come back to see us. You have to come back to
the
show.
I promise.
Awesome. I did tell you. You said, you know, you might have been a little nervous. And I'm like, everybody always agrees to come back. So. But we are just about out of time for our first segment, and I want to thank you so much for coming on, Kenzie.
Thank
and
you for having me.
Tell us real quick where we can find you online.
Okay, so I'm on Twitter, Kenzie Bly J, and Facebook, Kenzie Jennings. My book is coming out. Reception is coming out March 15th with Death Head Press, and it'll be all over Facebook. Trust me, all over social media. That's where you can find me. So,
awesome. I will get your links put up on our Facebook page. If anybody wants to stalk you, they can go there and do it. And again, thank you so much for coming on, and I can't wait to have you back.
All right, thank you so much. All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
It's been an absolute pleasure. We'll speak to you again. Right, and we will be right back after these messages.
Room Radio Show is sponsored by Hellbound Books, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher along with links to all their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with their very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Xtina has an author page found on the Hellbound website. Don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
Stop! Welcome back to part two.
And we's back. We's back. And I needed that wee, I have to say. It was quite spectacular. Quite spectacular, it really was. It really was. So, well, that was fun. I mean, Kenzie, I mean, God bless her. God really was. They're nervous and they come on. And then I think because we're so good at putting people at ease, I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
We
don't take ourselves too seriously. I think that might be it, too.
Well, I don't.
It's just just chatting. Mm. Yeah.
And there's so many shows out there that do, and they're all very, it's all very, very serious and very dry. And very, well, it's just as having a lark about, really, isn't it, in many ways? That's what I like to think.
Definitely. So I want to get back to our roots back in the, you know, when we first started and the awkward silences. And, you know, I'm thinking we should bring those back. They were a lot of fun, weren't they?
They were the best parts of the show for me, actually. Just those little pauses that were just like, is somebody going to say something or not?
Obviously not.
No, they're not. You know, it's... but hey, we've grown, you know. I think it's sort of natural growth, I like to call it, which could be something else, really, you know. Something hideous on the side of your leg or something, or perhaps in a fold somewhere. That's where these things tend to be. That fungus likes,
right?
It likes to grow in folds, doesn't it?
I'm picturing it now, and thanks. You know, I mean, I was okay when we were talking about the, you know, human flesh and, you know, and then those weird crackers you guys were talking about. It was getting my appetite up, but, you know, folds and festering, and no, I'm good
fungus.
Now. I'm good. So, fungus.
nice fungal infection, you know. We've all had one or two. We've all had one or two across the years, you know, but a bit of Canistan soon sorts that out. A bit of 1% antifungal cream usually does the job, I find, in many ways. But well, I was going to say, speaking of which, but I'm sure Jeff Strand wouldn't appreciate segueing from fungus. We'll talk about something more savoury, I think, for a moment or two before we go to chat. I read a report or saw it about the, there's a bit of a measles epidemic going on in the States at the moment, and they're putting it down to the anti vaccination people, which is ridiculous. You know, measles kills people. And it maims and it does horrible things, and it was pretty much eradicated, but it's making a bit of a resurgence, and it's all thanks to these people. It happened in England actually a few years ago before I left. There was a prominent doctor, Dr. Wakefield, I can't remember his first name now, let's call him Alan, and he very publicly said that, you know, the MMR vaccines caused autism in children. And there was, a lot of people didn't vaccinate the kids, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He was then found to be a fraud. He was a genuine doctor, but he was a major shareholder in some company that had an interest in this anti-vaccination stance that he'd taken. So he was discredited, but, you know, sticks, as they say, and it kind of, I don't know if it's come over the war, but, there's people saying, you know, the vaccine's got like 0.0001% mercury in it, which, you know, they have to put, vaccines work is it's either a dead or a probably disabled version of the virus. So obviously the immune system work can build up the antibodies to it.
perhaps the mercury's there for that. But I mean, you know, I'm, you know, I'm of that age. I have mercury-based fillings still in my face. my children have all been vaccinated, and they are fit well. I'm still. I don't think I'm that mentally impaired, to be honest with you. Mercury's known for mental impairment and creating deformities in children and all the rest of it. And you know, you have all, there's more mercury in a Duracell battery than there is, you know, in a million shots. And yet, you know, kids will quite merrily stick that there up their nose. So, but again, I mean, it's people, they just latch onto it. They don't. I think what it is they don't understand it. They hear mercury. Oh, mercury's bad. Mercury's bad. Mercury does this. You know, yeah. I mean, don't go drinking. But we used to play with mercury. I remember in school in chemistry, the chemicals we slopped around, benzene and mercury and all this stuff. That now, you know, they don't even allow in schools, let alone let you even look at. You know, but we remember playing with mercury. Have you ever run mercury through your fingers? It's an amazing thing. You know, it's like a liquid, but obviously it doesn't wet your hands because obviously it's this liquid. It's great. So yeah, we merrily play with that as you do.
You know,
benzene, we slopped around benzene. It was fun. Yes.
I want to brag on my son real quick. You know, he's 15, and he has decided that because we've had India on the show or reviewing books. He wants to come on our show and review Crime and Punishment, which he has 5 chapters left before he's at the end.
Fantastic.
Of Crime and Punishment.
Brilliant. We'll get him on. I'm all for kids need to read. My son is 16, and I honestly cannot remember the last time he picked up. He reads whatever they make him read at school. Even then, I think he just skims it. But he's not a book reader. My daughter, India, is. She'll read a book. You know, she likes to read to me. you know, practice when I'm a bedridden old man and she's going to wipe my bottom, I guess. But, you know, it's to be encouraged. By all means, once he's finished the book, get on. I would love to hear his review of Crime and Punishment. That's brilliant.
No,
good on him.
I will encourage
the reading of books.
I will warn you, when he tells you, his reviews will pretty much be, okay, the very first part of the book, this is what happens, and he'll take you through the entire book. And you don't even need to read it yourself after that, because you know
Excellent.
Everything
well,
that's happened.
Book him for the entire show, and he can just spend an hour and a half telling us about Crime and Punishment. That'd be great.
Perfect.
That'd be what a great show that would be, wouldn't it? which to be fair, and I'm, you know, no names, no partner, but would makes a refreshing change from reviewers who don't bother to read the book at all, allegedly.
True.
So, you know, there you go. Who base their review on the back cover, you know, what it says on the blurb, you know, which is, you know, minimalist, to say the least, but there you go. Anyway, moving on. If you'd like to introduce our returning guest, if I think he's been on the show almost as much as you have, Xtina, to be honest with you. So off you go. You introduce him.
Okay, 4-time nominee of the Bram Stoker Award and winner of the Splatterpunk Award, Jeff Strand. Woo!
Are you there, sir?
I'm doing good. I think you should have kept with the fungal infection transition.
Oh, did you like that? Was that?
I like that. Would have been perfect.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did not to introduce you with you know, folds and fungus, which would be a great great title for a Bizarro anthology, wouldn't it? Folds and fungus. I'm gonna copyright that. That's a good one. So, Jeff, welcome to the show. It must be at least your 4th time. As I said before, you really should know better by now.
Actually, the irony is that this is the first time I've reached out to Xtina and said, hey, can I be on the show? Usually she asks me, and this time I said, no, I want to be on. So.
Wow. There you go. Again, you should know better, but there you go. Again, here to talk about Ferocious, and I have to say, absolutely love the cover of that novel. It is phenomenal. the sort of the half the zombie bear thing is absolutely brilliant. Absolutely love it to bits.
Yep. That is another Lynn Hansen cover. Same person who did Reception.
Yeah. All right, awesome.
Great cover.
Awesome. Yeah, we should get in touch with her. Make a note, Xtina. Make a note.
Okay.
You can get in touch with her anytime you want.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna say, I'm pretty sure that Jeff could put us in touch with her. I believe that's his wife, so I think that she could. He could drop a word for us, a good word. Put in a good word for us.
I sure can.
No, that would awesome. No, so that would be great. We have a stable of awesome artists that we call on for our covers, but always looking for we always add new. An exciting artist. I love that. But I just love the imagery. He just tells the whole story, which is fantastic. So, hey, Jeff, tell us a bit more about it, Jeff.
It's basically zombie animals. And if you need more than that, you're not the target audience for the book. But it's about a guy who has basically living off the grid in a cabin deep in the woods. And he used to live by himself, but then he had to raise his niece from a baby, and now she's almost 18, and he's starting to wonder if this is the best life, or maybe he should give her a chance to try something else temporarily and see if she actually wants to come back to his cabin deep in the woods. And then bad things start to happen as they realize that animals are acting very strangely, and they may just be zombie animals.
Yikes.
I have to say, I watched. Have you presumably seen the movie Zombieaver?
I sure have. Yes.
Which is a phenomenal. No again, it's very, very tongue in cheek, but very well done. For a low budget horror movie, it was well done. And I was going to ask. Was that any sort of inspiration for this?
Not really. That one, I love Zombieaver. That one's more spoof. And this one, it's very tongue-in-cheek. It's kind of, my usual horror comedy. But it's played, the premise is played straight. So there's lots of humor in it. There's silliness, but it's not a spoof like Zombievers. It's not quite as goofy, although I love them.
It was a brilliant film, yeah. I love that film. but like
great.
You say, there's a
My
lot you can do
nightmare.
With zombies. I think that's the thing, yeah.
Yeah, my last nightmare was after I watched The Walking Dead. I had a nightmare that night. So zombies are great. They are. I'm a big fan of zombies. But I've never encountered a zombie animal, though. So that's exciting. And I'm reading Ferocious. I just started a couple days ago. And I'm not too far into it yet because I only read, right before bedtime. And, of course, then I'm tired. But, I'm reading. And I love your writing. I really do. And see, that's the thing, too, is, we have had Jeff on the show like 4 times now, but he won't stop writing. So it's his own fault. He, he's got, I don't understand how he does it. Okay, when I read a book and I really, really, like the book, it's hard for me to, kind of leave that world after I finish. And, it seems like Jeff finishes a book, and as soon as he writes the end, he's chapter one, he's starting a new book. And is that ever hard, leaving, the world behind that you just finished?
No, usually I'm really, really happy to be done with the book. By the end, I am so ready to move on that I am, elated to type the end. I'm sure there's an exception, but pretty much every book I've written, just like, oh, yes, I am done. Hooray! Not in a, oh, thank God I'm done with this piece of crap, but just, I'm always, it's like the end of a race. You're not like, oh, I wish there was still more race left to go. You're like, yes, I did it.
Yeah,
so I am. I'm happy whenever I finish a book.
Now, what about characters that you've, really memorable characters, like from Wolf Hunt? I mean, do they ever come back? Do you ever, do they ever, pop their head in? Like, you're sure their story isn't quite over yet or something like that?
Yeah, I like returning to them. So, there's Wolf Hunt 2. There's going to be a Wolf Hunt 3. I've done a few Andrew Mayhem books. Mm-hmm. Generally, I'm more excited about new characters than returning to characters. It's like, there are quite a few. If I had unlimited time, there are a bunch of sequels I would write. I think it would be fun to find out, you know, what happened after Blister ended. Cyclops Road definitely have a sequel.
You know, definitely. Even the way you ended that, I saw a sequel in the I did. I was like, there could definitely be something else, you know, here. So I was that's what I was waiting on because I love that book. I really did. I have that in paperback, and one of these days I'm going to show up at one of these author signing things that you go to every 2 seconds, and you're going to sign my freaking book.
All right, my schedule is up on my website, so feel click the appearances page, and it tells you where you can dock me and creepily show up.
And she will. Yeah. Be careful. She will.
I will. Mm-hmm. Creepily. Definitely. Creepily. I want to hear more about Ferocious, Jeff. Do you have an excerpt for us?
I sure do.
Yay!
All right. This doesn't require a lot of setup. The characters are Mia and Rusty, and they are out on a walk.
Okay.
Mia let go of his hand again. What's that? She hurried up ahead. Rusty picked up his pace, but at 50, he was perfectly content to let Mia be the first to make the discovery. It was a dead deer, lying half in and half out of the creek. That is, the bottom half of the deer was in the creek, while the top half was scattered around about a 15-foot area. Finding dead animals out here was rare. Nature cleaned itself up pretty quickly. That said, finding a dead deer would have elicited no more than a, oh, that's interesting, except for the sheer carnage on display. This wasn't how animals died in the world. This wasn't how animals died in the wild. Wolves would tear a poor creature apart, but this was like a thrill kill. What do you think happened? Asked Mia, walking right up to the scene of the crime. Despite his love of the primitive life, Rusty preferred to buy most of his meat from the grocery store. Still, they did some hunting, and Mia had dressed more deer carcasses than the average 17-year-old girl, so seeing this was unusual but not stomach-churning. No idea. Rusty didn't even see the deer's head at first, then noticed it lying upside down next to a tree. Maybe a bear got it? Bear wouldn't fling the pieces around like this. Humans? Mia asked. Ha, there aren't any clean cuts. This was teeth and claws, not knives. Mia grinned. Hope we don't have a feral children problem. The only thing I can think of is that some wolves took it down, then some other wolves came along and tried to claim the kill. During the fight, the deer got ripped up all over the place. Wouldn't one group of wolves have won, though? Yeah, probably. If it was such a big fight that the deer got strewn around like this, we'd see some evidence, right? Maybe not a whole dead wolf, but there'd be fur. I don't see anything. Mia walked over to the edge of the creek. There aren't any bites taken out of the lower half. Hey, how do you know I'm not keeping you from a career as a crime scene investigator? Mia went around the area, carefully looking at each of the many, many pieces of deer. Rusty wasn't sure what he was supposed to be looking for, so he just watched her. I can't say for sure, said Mia finally, but I don't think any of this deer was eaten. Really? Maybe they took a bite here and there, but it kind of seems like, or it's just spread all over. It's like the deer was murdered. I know that sounds dumb. Let me try to think of how to say it. You're saying that it wasn't killed for food. Right. Which is the only reason a wild animal would kill another wild animal. Right. Yeah, that's weird, said Rusty. We do have feral children running around. At least the parts weren't arranged into some freaky pattern like it was a cult ritual. That's a definite upside. By the way, if you send me away, there's a very good chance I'll join a cult, just throwing that out there. Noted. Even without a cultish, demon-summoning, Satan-worshipping element, Rusty had to admit that this was creeping him out a little. Also, if fresh deer meat was lying out like this and hadn't been taken away by scavengers, this massacre was still very recent, which meant that whatever had done it might still be nearby. We should head back, he said. Yeah. They returned to the cabin, not running, but certainly not strolling at the same leisurely pace as before. That is ferocious.
Awesome. I have to say, you know, we have readings all the time on the show, and it seems like the ones that you just are just amazing. You're like, why can't it be longer? You know, I think that the next time we have you on the show, it's going to have to be for the whole show, and I'm going to demand more readings.
Yeah, we don't need a second guest.
Yeah. No, you know, there's many times we just have one on. We can do a whole, you know, and James, you know, jokes around that we have you on all the time. And I'm thinking, you know, a Jeff Strand corner where, you know, we just consult you, you know, about some, fungus. What was the fungus thing we were talking about? You know, it's a fungus corner with Jeff Strand or I don't know. Just, you know, something to have you, you know, come on more frequently. That's
I don't know that I can do more than 70 or 71 bits on fungus.
A lot of, we used to do fruit fly corner, and even I ran out of fascinating fruit fly. So there might be more to fungus. You never know.
I tried for my whole baseball corner, but I get booed off whenever I try that.
Oh God! Oh yes, you do. That's tedious. It really is tedious.
Well, you know, the tedious part is that the you know, my team, I think today is the fourth game of spring training, and we have won one game, and today we lost miserably. So it's going to be another year of, yeah, the Blue Jays won. The Blue Jays lost again. I predicted that is going to be the future of, this year in baseball. You can look forward to that.
I'm already looking forward to it.
I know.
God help us all.
Are you a baseball fan, Jeff?
I don't object to baseball. I enjoy it. I like live games. Like Kenzie said, I enjoy live games. I don't ever actually watch it on TV. I don't follow it. So when you say a team, there's a 20% chance that I can tell you which city they're from, and an 80% chance I'm going to nod politely and pretend I know what you're talking about. But I'm not a sports hater. I'm just a sort of an ambivalent, yes, they exist, and I don't follow them very closely.
Well, you know, I can't figure out what you have time for. It seems like you're always writing a book. And do you even have time to read ever? Do you read?
I don't have as much time to read as I would like, but yeah, I do read. My Kindle is well used.
Well, that's good. Who have you read recently? Any good books that you can recommend for me? I'm always looking for books that are like yours. I mean, I still have plenty to read, of course, you know, because I haven't gone through all of your titles yet. But I'm definitely always looking for something that I would think would be similar. I love the humor. I really do. And it's with yours, it's such a, for me anyway, a subtle humor. You know, I mean, it's not, I don't even, there were times I was reading Blister and I would think to myself, I wonder if anybody even gets some of the funny parts because they're just so subtle that, and to me that makes it even more funny. You know, it really does. I can see these conversations happening between these characters and it's, I love it. I really do. So that's what I'm looking for. You know, when I'm reading. So have you run across?
Right now I'm reading David Wong's What the Hell Did I Just Read, which is the third book in the John Dies at the End series.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like goofy humor, this is a lot more cerebral and deep thought type stuff, but it's very, very funny and extremely fast-paced and inventive. So those are some of my favorite books.
Yeah.
And also, Kenzie's Reception, I will throw in a plug for our prior guest. It does have a definite dark sense of humor to it. It is a thick book.
She did say that you were, a big influence. And I was thinking that we talked so much about, you know, you in her segment that we have to, we're going to talk about Kenzie now. So it's only fair, right?
Well, I told her she needed to go to a convention because that's, you know, a lot of the publishing business, for better or worse, it is who you know. It's not you send in blind submissions and they accept them. That does happen, but generally it's met someone at a convention or whatever and, you know, it led to something. So I was like, you got to go to a convention since she had just finished Reception. So I was like, all right. Gave her a list of the ones I was going to and said, but I thought Killer Con was probably the best one because it's a smaller one, and if you're not big on, you know, Stoker Con can be a little bit overwhelming, even though it's small compared to, you know, a Dragon Con or something, but it's big compared to horror writers' conventions. Whereas KillerCon's small, intimate, there's not, you know, a ton of stuff going on all at once. So I said, you know, you have to go to KillerCon. And she did. And it was kind of funny. It reminded me of going, I lived in Florida for 20 years. So I've been to Disney World many, many times. And you get kind of used to it. And then one year we went to Disney World with our friend's five-year-old daughter, and it became a completely different experience. And Kenzie at KillerCon was the equivalent of our friend's five-year-old daughter, of just, oh my God, Lucy Taylor just got out of that elevator. I've been reading her for 20 years. Wow, that's why I'm seeing over there. So it was like, oh yeah, this is actually really, really cool that there are all these writers that I had been reading for a long time. But I go to a lot of conventions. I'm kind of used to it. Like, to me, it's like, hey, Lucy, how's it going? And with Kendi, it's like, that is Lucy Taylor right there. And of course, Lucy Taylor's very, very nice. And they had a nice long conversation. And she was ecstatic. But I said, prepare an elevator pitch, meaning the definition of elevator pitch is basically if you get into an elevator with an editor or an agent, you're able to pitch them before the door opens and they get to their floor. So she had a pitch prepared, and it happened that we had lunch, very disappointing barbecue with the owner of Death's Head Press, and he mentioned that he was looking for novels. I was like, why? Kenzie has a novel. She had her pitch ready, and it led to a deal. And I had said, you know, you're probably not going to walk out of a convention with a deal. You know, that's not how it works, but you're building the foundation. And of course, she walked out of KillerCon with a book deal. So,
you go, Kenzie. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, no, it, you know, it'd probably be the same as, you know, when you watch a scary movie, you've seen the movie over and over again, but you watch it with somebody who's never seen it, and I think you spend more time, you know, watching them for their reaction, and you see it in a whole different light. Speaking of Florida, I lived in Florida for a while, and you now are in Georgia, right? Is that where you live in Georgia, right? And
yeah,
you're always
I'm
complaining
in Atlanta now.
Of the... You're always complaining of the cold weather. Well, I don't think it was that bad this year.
Less. This weather has not been anywhere near as bad as it was last year. Last year was miserable. Last year was everyone saying, oh, Georgia winters are no big deal. And then it snowed, you know, 5 days. And it was 6 months of just being miserably freezing. And this year, part of it is I've acclimated to it. But the other part is just not as cold this year. So this year is closer to what people were saying that Georgia winter was like. So I'm,
you know,
I complain, but it's not the unrelenting misery.
I always wonder, you know, to me it seems like when I moved to Tennessee from Florida, it was the same thing where, you know, from Florida we, you know, get to Tennessee and it snowed. It was so cold. I mean, people were saying it's like unseasonably cold right now and it's, you know, snowing. I think it does that for Floridians. I really do. It just, you know, we have horrible weather when somebody moves. So I don't know. But,
yeah. Well,
I
had a friend, Michelle, and I was like, you know, she was moving to Tampa and I was like, this is going to be great. She's one of my best friends. Have a fellow writer to hang out with all the time. And this was back in 2005, which was a year that Florida got hit with 4 major hurricanes, like, in a row. It was like, and they were always on weekends. So you would work all week. You'd work Monday through Friday. Friday evening, the hurricane would come in, ruin your whole weekend just in time for you to come back to work on Monday. And it was literally every weekend for 4 straight weeks was a major hurricane. And I felt terrible for, like, saying, oh, Tampa's paradise. You'll love it. It's like, no, it was hell. She did not stay the next year. So
I say, you know, I do not regret 1 second from, you know, moving from Florida. I don't know. You know, it wasn't too bad when I lived in like the St. Pete area. That wasn't so bad. But you know, I lived in Ocala for like 10 years, and that was just hell. I mean, my zip code should have been, you know, hell. That's what it should be. I much prefer the cold weather. And, you know, I even like it when it's dreary, when, you know, you don't see the sun for days. And you know, to me, that's I don't know.
No, that's like messed up.
No, you want to curl up on the couch and watch a good scary movie or something. That's what I say instead of all this crazy
you
sunshine.
You can watch a good scary movie without having a jury outside. You can just pull the curtains. You can control your indoor lighting.
It's not
the same. I don't
know.
We went back to Tampa this past weekend. I went to the Tampa Bay Publishing Conference to give a talk. And so we left Georgia, and it was 45 degrees in Atlanta, and our car has a temperature gauge, so you can see what it is outside. So it was like 45. Okay. Now it's 50. Yeah. Now it's 55. Yeah. And by the time we got to Tampa, it was 85, and I was very, very happy. We celebrated. And we were really sad to come back and then have the temperature on. Now it's 80. Well, that's okay. 75. All right. 65. And now we're back down to, well, it's been okay. But when we got back, it was about 45. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't mind the cold weather at all. I could definitely, I don't know. But I was born in New York. So, you know, I lived a lot of, you know, my life in upstate New York, and it's way colder up there. So I think here in Tennessee, which is where I am, is, it's perfect because you get like the right amount of each season. It's perfect. I do. And I don't think that Georgia is too much different. I mean, we're pretty close. So, anyway, before we run out of time, I want to know, what are you working on now? I mean, do you even give yourself a day before you jump into the next novel?
No, not usually.
No.
Usually I'm very excited to get to the next novel. I don't finish a book and just say, oh, I'm so exhausted, I don't want to do anything. I'm pretty much, because I've been thinking about the next one. So the next one does not have a title yet, but it's the closest thing I've ever written to a mainstream thriller.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those where halfway through there's a gigantic twist. So typically I don't like to do a lot of outlining. I kind of have a basic idea. For something like Ferocious, it's basically, I know that they're in the cabin. I know the cabin's going to be surrounded by zombie animals at some point, and then they need to get to their truck that is stuck in the mud so they can get out of the forest. And I didn't know that much beyond it because I didn't really need to. I had a couple major signposts. Whereas this one, because there's a big, gigantic, half midpoint twist that changes the complete course of the story, I kind of had to outline things a little bit more carefully. So this one actually has a full outline. I know where it's going to go, so it should be written fairly quickly compared to some of the other ones. But yeah, it's basically a mainstream thriller with a gigantic twist, and I'll tell you about it the next time I'm on the show.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Yeah, you know, you say it would be written relatively quickly, but I'm really astonished because, I'm still working on a short story I started, you know, last year. So, but, you know, I'm the kind of person who, you know, I do something and, I need a nap afterwards. You go right into the next project and I'm thinking, I woke up 2 hours ago. I need a nap. So.
Well, writing is my day job. So it's like it's my only source of income. And it would be great if I made so much money off any one book that I could just like, all right, that covers me for Ferocious covers me for 2019, but Ferocious is going to cover me for, you know, the first quarter or third of 2019. So I have to keep the pipeline flowing or else I will be back working for MetLife. So that's a good motivator is I don't want to go back to MetLife. So
definitely.
If I don't feel like writing, I feel like not going back to MetLife. So that helps.
So, Jeff, tell us where we can find you online.
www.jeffstrand.com. I'm on Twitter at Jeff Strand. I'm on Facebook at Jeff Strand Author. I'm on Instagram at Jeff Strand Author. And the links to all those are jeffstrand.com if you forget.
And, yeah, if anybody needs to know where to stalk Jeff Strand, just come to Xtina. She'll tell you. Sure. Again, I want to thank you so much for coming back on the show, and I can't wait to have you back. And next time we're going to do the whole show and more reading and more zombies, and it's going to be fun. So I thank you for coming back on, and until the next time, Jeff.
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure, Jeff. And we'll speak to you soon.
All right. Thank you very
okay.
much.
Okay. And it is time, I'm afraid, to say goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight, Xtina.